stand by. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IMS Problem Investigator, Exploring the Black Holes of IMS Performance. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. The speaker for today's teleconference is Jim Martin, U.S. Representative, Fundy Software. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Jim Martin. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you for joining me today to talk about two IMS tools that I believe can help you understand the performance and do problem determination in today's very complex IMS transactions. In today's transactions, these may include DB2, they may include WebSphere MQ, they may include IMS Connect, and for those transactions, the IMS log doesn't contain all of the information that you'll need to be able to solve the problem, or at least you'll need help being able to assign the problem or get help from some of your technical colleagues in the DB2 or WebSphere MQ area. So let's look at slide 2, which is the session agenda, and what we're going to talk about today is basically what I call a black spot or a black hole in the performance and problem determination scenarios for IMS transactions. And we're going to talk about some new features and new directions for the IMS Performance Analyzer, IMS-PA, and the IMS Problem Investigator, IMS-PI, and try to show you just exactly how these new features and the new directions of these two products can really help you resolve in a much better fashion these IMS problems and performance problems that you may have with your complex IMS transactions. Now let's look at slide 3 and talk about the IMS Performance Analyzer and the IMS Problem Investigator. The Performance Analyzer is a tool that's been around for over 10 years, and it's used to review the IMS logs in a bash fashion to make sure that you're meeting your service levels and do response time analysis, capacity planning, and all of the things that we've had to do to manage our IMS systems. The Problem Investigator is a tool that allows you in a very productive way to view the IMS logs and other related logs that you may need to solve IMS performance and or do problem determination for IMS transactions. Also, let's make sure that we understand, and I'm looking at slide 4, just exactly what I mean by a performance black spot or a performance black hole. As we all know, the IMS logs are a rich source of information about what goes on in terms of an IMS transaction. But today's complex transactions, if they use DB2 or they use WebSphere MQ or they have a IMS Connect component, there's an indication in the IMS log of when DB2 is called to provide application data or when WebSphere MQ is called to provide application data. But what actually goes on within the DB2 or WebSphere MQ environments is not contained in the IMS log, so I refer to those as a black hole or a black spot. Also, if your transaction is using IMS Connect, all of the processing time within IMS Connect must be considered, as that is a consistent part of the performance characteristics of that particular IMS transaction. Without tools like IMS-PA and IMS-PI, you're left to guess when you suspect that the problem may be in DB2 or WebSphere MQ, and oftentimes you have to request help from your technical colleagues in those areas, and sometimes it's difficult without some substantial evidence that their subsystems are participating in the issue to get their help. So what I wanted to show you today is how IMS-PA and PI working together can give you the credibility and the evidence to involve those technical companions of yours in the DB2 and WebSphere and IMS connected areas to solve your IMS performance problems. Let's move on to full 5 and just take a look at the Performance Analyzer and Problem Investigator as they are evolving today. The direction for these two products is to continue to provide you a foundation and a highly leveraged and productive way to be able to analyze the characteristics of these IMS transactions. The focus here is to try to allow you to be more and more productive And also to allow you to involve some of the newer individuals in your organization in the problem determination process that perhaps don't have the skills that the senior people in the installation have. But it's important that we be able to bring in new talent and allow them to be productive in a very quick manner so as to help us solve these problems and reduce the workload and replace some of the IMS skills and knowledge that we all know is leaving the industry due to retirement and things of that particular nature. So what we can see here is that the IMS Performance Analyzer is evolving from a system that was primarily there just to generate reports and, as the slide implies, kill trees, to the heart of a system that enables automated problem determination methodologies when we have to look at the performance and our due problems that are determination for IMS transactions. Let's move to follow six and see basically just a kind of a roadmap of what I'm talking about here. We know we have a problem, and we know about when it occurred, so a typical scenario of how we might use these products to help us in this particular area, we might use the forms-based reporting capabilities of the Performance Analyzer to do some evaluation of initial evaluation of the IMS logs or the IMS monitor or, in this case, a Megamon TRF. And using those reports, we can get a general overall idea of what the characteristics of the performance problem might be. Is it related to an individual transaction at a very limited period of time, or is it more general? Does it affect all of our transactions? And then once we've got an area of understanding of what we need to look at next, we might use IMS PI to drill down into the associated logs, looking to see what is going on with these individual transactions and see if we need to investigate further the activities that might be occurring in DB2 or MQ series, or in some cases, IMS Connect. Once we have this process underway, then we should be able to understand whether or not the performance problem is strictly IMS related, or we find evidence that DB2 or RACF or WebSphere MQ is involved, then we have some ability to ask for assistance from those particular technical support individuals with confidence that they'll be willing to provide us assistance based upon the evidence that we can provide. Now, the support for DB2 and WebSphere MQ and IMS PI and PA is not likely to allow you to solve a DB2 problem or a WebSphere MQ problem. It's designed more to allow you to engage those technical support people for those subsystems and give them some information so that they can use their special tools for the DB2 or WebSphere MQ environments to be able to help bring to bear the resources necessary to fix the problem. Let's move on to page 7 and look at some of the things that have been added to the Performance Analyzer and to the Problem Investigator over the year 2008 that confirms this particular direction and provides you the ability to do the processes that I'm talking about. In 2008, we added a very important part to the IMS Performance Analyzer called the Accounting Index Records. And basically, this process allows you to pre-process an IMS log and create an index record for every transaction on the log. This index record, as we'll see here in the next foil or two, contains all of the performance metrics for a transaction. And what that allows you to do then is to use the powers of PI to create filters that will allow you to search those index records to be able to find transactions that have exceeded the performance characteristics required for the transaction or for any other type of performance metrics for that particular transaction. And we'll see more about how we would use that and what that looks like here in the next few slides. In terms of IMS PI, we added support for the DB2 logs, and while this shows directions for MQ, later in the year we did provide, via the service process, support for WebSphere MQ and SMF log support from a limited standpoint. Also, we enabled with PI the ability to understand the new IMSP accounting index and be able to use that in a way to solve the IMS problems that we're looking at. So let's move on to 408 and talk about a little bit more about PI as it's evolving. And as I said, you can now merge together in your PI environment IMS, DB2, IMS Connect Extensions records, WebSphere MQ, and some SMF records so that you can get a total picture of the IMS transactional process and what processes and what performance metrics are associated with that transaction. If you're familiar with PI, you know that with the PI you have the ability to do the TX line action, and that will essentially show you all of the events associated with that transaction and exclude any log records on any of the merged logs that are not specifically associated with that transaction. And what that allows you to do is bring together all of the records for a transaction, because we know at the rates that these systems of ours process transactions today, the event records, the log records, and the DB2 log records, and the WebSphere MQ log records associated with these particular transactions may be hundreds or thousands of records apart. And so to try to use a manual technique such as a batch utility to find all of these associated records, even if you had the skills and you knew what all these records were and all their interrelationships and all of the interrelated tokens such as unit of work, unit of recovery tokens, and the like, the manual process of trying to relate them all is simply exhausting. So you need a tool like PI that can not only merge all of these logs together, but can programmatically and automatically identify the flow of the transaction through all of these particular subsystems so that you can very quickly spot problem areas or things that don't look to be correct to you. Let's move on to 409 and see an example of just exactly what I'm talking about here in terms of merging the logs. Now, this shows a transaction that entered through IMS Connect, and we see at the top the first record is a A03 Charlie, which is the initial receipt of that particular transaction from the IMS Connect. The ABLE0 records are produced by the IMS Connect Extensions tool and allows you to include the processing within IMS Connect on the inbound and outbound sides, as well as any acknowledgments required from the remote client due to a positive acknowledgment request from the client in terms of the response times of the transaction. As we see, the first IMS log record is the 01 log record, which represents the enqueuing of the message in IMS. And it's the first time that IMS has recognized and accepted this particular transaction for processing. IMS PI allows you several ways to view the relative time difference between the events that occurred in the life cycle of the transaction. What we see here is the use of a relative time, and you can see that up at the top in the gray area on the right-hand side. It shows the time to be relative. And that was achieved by, in the line command area of the 01 record, placing an R there. And that set the relative time base for this particular viewing session to that 01 record. So you can see that the IMS Connect Extensions records that preceded it are showed with a minus offset in terms of the relativity of the 01, and all of those events that occurred after the 01 record are showed in a positive time relative to the 01 record. So as we look down, and you'll see there are two items enclosed in a red box. And if we look at those, we can see that the insert into the data page for DB2 took over 2 seconds, or just right at 2 seconds. And that obviously is something that we probably couldn't tolerate in today's high-performance systems. Notice if you back up also to the IMS 5600 sign on to the ESAF record. That's an IMS log record. And the next IMS log record is the 03 record immediately after the DB2 log records. If you did not have the ability to merge in the DB2 log records into this view, then you would be seeing what I call an IMS black hole or a black spot. Because we could easily see from the contents of the IMS log record that from the time we signed on to DB2 until the time the application sent the output message back to the terminal, that there was an elapsed time there of 2 seconds. But we would have no way to understand what went on in DB2, what role did DB2 play in this performance. We would suspect it, but we wouldn't have any real data to substantiate that the problem was most likely in DB2. Having the ability to merge in the DB2 log allows us to feel very confident that the problem is in DB2, and not only when we ask for help from our DB2 colleagues, we can provide them, based upon the first 020 record in DB2, the unit of recovery control record, we can provide them the unit of recovery token that they will need to use their DB2 log analysis tools to find out just exactly what went on in DB2 that may have caused this insert into the data page to have taken 2 seconds. And so if we look on farther down in that particular transaction, we'll see again the committing of the IMS transaction, and we will see another sequence of ABLE 0 records that represent the message being sent outbound through IMS Connect. And so we can actually see that our total response time for this particular transaction was over 2 seconds of elapsed time. And obviously, with today's systems and technology, that's probably not acceptable. Let's move on to FOIL 10 and talk a little bit more detail about the IMS PA Accounting Index. As I said, you know, we've run millions of transactions a day in these systems, and we need a way to be able to very quickly find those transactions that are not meeting our performance objectives. Before the advent of the PA Accounting Index, we basically had to run a PA report, scan through it manually, find a performance figure that didn't meet our objectives, and then use the start time of that particular transaction as reported by PA to manually go to PI or some other vehicle to try to find the associated log records. Now that we have the PI Accounting Index built, we no longer have to do that. We can use the PI Accounting Index to take us immediately to the associated log records in IMS that represent this particular transaction. And in addition to that, we can use the actual PA Accounting Index as the source for any other PA reports that we would like to use in the forms-based transaction analysis space. So that can also have the potential to save us from having to pass log tapes repeatedly as we need to perhaps run other PA reports to do problem investigation, our initial set of problem investigation for the transaction. But the real power is that we'll be able to use the filter capability of IMS PI to navigate through these index records and find the potential sources of our problems. In other words, we could search for all of the transactions of a type payroll that had end-to-end performance characteristics above a given threshold. We could even look for transactions where certain parts of the transactions had poor performance, such as OTMA performance or IO performance. And if we had to, we could even be very, very specific in the type of transaction that it was. And we can see the components for IMS and DB2, as we've talked about already. So using this accounting index gives us a very strong and very quick way to find the actual transactions information on the logs to complete our detailed analysis of individual transactions. Let's move on to FOIL 11. And we'll see here an example of the logs that we potentially have to use in this performance process And we can see here that we have that user index that we built. And we have also two IMS logs, IMS SLIDs. And we also have a DB2 log. We also have two IMS monitors, because if we're lucky enough to have an IMS monitor involved in the transactional performance, there's a wealth of information available there. And we also have some SMF data. By virtue of the fact that we see all the selections or the S's in the line columns associated with those particular files, that means that we're asking PI to merge all of those files together. And if you look out in the right side of the menu, the filter and the time zone information, we're asking PI to search the user index with a filter for slow transactions and return only those index records that meet the criteria specified by that filter. So if, for example, we had 50,000 transactions on this very small slice of a SLIDs, but only three of them exceeded the criteria identified by the filter slow underscore TX, then all we would see in our display would be those two transactions. So we would already have eliminated almost 50,000 transactions as being potential things that we need to look at. So let's move on to full 12 and look at what the filter slow underscore TX actually looked like. In this particular example, we told PI to use the transaction accounting index and show any transaction that had a processing time of greater than 0.3 seconds. So any transaction that executed below 300 milliseconds will be excluded from this particular diagnostic event. Obviously, if we did that 3.3 seconds and we still had a huge number of transactions, we might want to change the filter to look for a half a second or 1 second, depending upon whatever our diagnostic purposes. But we can do some very quickly understand just how severe the problem is and how focused many transactions we might have to look at to solve the problem. Look at full 13, and this is an example of what PI would show based upon executing that request to merge all of that input data together and filter based upon the slow underscore TX filter. And what we see here is a list of the transactions in this particular run that exceeded 300 milliseconds in transaction elapsed time. And notice that in this particular example, the TRAN code is DSN8 something in almost all of these particular examples. Now, that's probably something that in your installation you might understand and see that based upon this set of TRAN codes that are showing abnormal performance behavior, you probably begin to have some sort of a clue what might be going on here. If we look at full 14, we see the results of us having issued the TX line command on the transaction accounting index in full 13. And what we see here is all of the log and monitor data associated with that particular transaction merged with the DB2 information for this particular report. Now, notice that in this particular example, the time that we're looking at the right of the page is the actual clock time associated with the event. And we can tell that by up at the top, it just shows the time is relative to a plus 8 in terms of hours. And we have that ability to adjust the time frame so that if you happen to be in a type of installation that needs to work on logs from multiple data centers in different time zones around the world, that you can adjust them to correlate on your machine to the actual real time that the transaction occurred in, because you might need to be able to compare these times against things like syslogs or some other time that showed up in the actual real time where the transaction executed. As we look at this particular transaction, we can see the IMS 01 record is the first record of the transaction. And this, again, as I said earlier, is when IMS first accepted the transaction for processing. And then as we go through on down, we'll see the start of unit recovery identified by the 5607 record. And then the next records are these four easy records. Those are records that were produced by the IMS TM monitor record that begin to show us some actual individual detail about the processing of the particular transaction. And we'll see the 31, which is the get unique for the transaction, which signifies the application has requested the transaction. We'll see some more four easies in the 56 to start the protected unit of work. And we can see that we will continue processing until we get to the 4EZ49 and a 4EZ48 series, which actually starts an external subsystem call. And then we see the results of that DB2 call in the DB2 subsystem, which includes some exclusive locks on a page set and a save point, some index updates and delete from a page, bitmaps, all the kind of stuff that probably, unless you happen to also be a DB2 subject matter expert, is not going to be very meaningful to you. But if we can identify that there is a performance issue with those particular DB2 type activities, as I said before, gives us the credible information that we pass on to our DB2 colleagues to get them to provide us help to solve this particular problem. We move on to 15. This just kind of shows us an example of some of the metrics that we have in the accounting index that we can use within the filters, PI, to select just the transactions that might have information that we need to do further research on. And you can see here that there's a wealth of information there. In fact, as I said before, there's enough information here so that you can use these records as input into other forms-based accounting reporting processes in PA and not have to pass your logs again. If we move on to full 16, these are just some of the usage scenarios that we believe the PA and PI can help you address. And I won't go into them in any more detail than to point these out to you on full 16. Let's move on to full 17, which kind of shows a example of a real customer issue that I helped with that was initially reported to the IMS performance and support people as poor IMS Connect performance. The customers were complaining about the performance of a transaction that went through IMS Connect. And so we had to, as system programmers, to solve this problem, we had to first determine that, well, yeah, is the problem really an IMS Connect problem or is it an IMS problem? And this customer was a Connect Extensions customer, so they had the data necessary to understand what processing was occurring within Connect Extensions so that we could merge the Connect Extensions events with the IMS events and really get a better picture of what was going on. Without the ability to provide the data from Connect Extensions, then the transaction component that occurred at IMS Connect would have been a black hole and would have been very difficult, as I hope you'll see as we walk through this problem, to identify the real source of this problem. So we've moved on to full 18. What we did first was we used the IMS Performance Analyzer to analyze the information from the Connect Extensions journals and the IMS logs to really get a better picture of what was going on with this particular transactions that were having problems, then help really identify just exactly where the problem was. If we move on to full 19, we'll see a forms-based report that we ran from the Performance Analyzer. And remember that when this particular problem was reported to the IMS support team, the first thing they did was to go out using their online tools such as Omega Mon or MainView and look at the time that transactions were taking to execute on their IMS systems. And in this particular FOIL 19, that is reflected in the total IMS time, which is over on the right-hand side of the report. And you can see that from the IMS perspective that they have gained from using their online tools, the IMS system performance is extremely good. You know, about the longest one there is 7 milliseconds, or now there's an 11 milliseconds. But you can see that when they did their evaluation using their online tools, they said, well, obviously the problem is in IMS Connect because our IMS systems are running very good. So we look over in the left-hand side, the Connect response time figure, and it shows, well, sure enough, there is a significant response time reported by the performance analyzer in that at the boundary of IMS Connect, most transactions are taken in the high 1 to 2 second range. But if we look over in the pre-OTMA time, which is next to Connect response time, that is the time that IMS Connect said it took to process the transaction inbound. And if we look at those numbers, they're very minuscule as well, about 2 milliseconds is the most that it took to get a transaction through IMS Connect. And so we have a scenario here where it says IMS is running very good. There's no problem in IMS, but yet IMS Connect says, well, I'm running very good. There's no problems in me. If we look at the next column, which is the OTMA processing time, and this OTMA processing time is the view of the IMS processing time from the perspective of IMS Connect. And we can see here that we have significant numbers in those columns, which says that from the view of IMS Connect, IMS is performing very poorly. Now, this view of IMS's performance includes the time that it takes to send the transaction to IMS by the Extended Communications Facility, XCF, the time it takes for IMS to process it, and it takes for the time it takes for IMS to return that message back to IMS Connect via XCF. So we have a dichotomy here. What is accounting for all of this particular time that's not accounted for by our real-time monitors at IMS and is not shown to be attributable to the processing of the transaction through IMS Connect? And as it turns out in this particular environment, remember we've looked at the 01 records on the logs before, and that is the time that IMS accepts the message, and that is the time that the online monitors typically use to evaluate the transactional performance of IMS. But in the OTMA environment, the pre-processing done against a message very often includes some calls to RACF to verify the user associated with the transaction. And as it turned out in this environment, that RACF subsystem was performing very poorly. And so there was within IMS OTMA pre-processing a significant time delay that was not visible to the online monitors that we would use and was only visible when we looked at it from this consolidated point of view. So this problem turned out to be essentially the time it took to get the message processed in OTMA with specific emphasis on how long it took to do the RACF evaluation. After we'd solved this problem, I talked with another customer within a few weeks that had exhibited similar symptoms, and when I said I had seen this before, they went out and looked at when their problems were occurring, and sure enough, there was a backup of a RACF data set occurring when they had the similar symptoms. So let's move on to FOIL 20, and this is just a fancier view of what I've been showing you that outlines those particular columns that we talked about and those particular metrics. And this is a quick view of just what that same process looked like when we looked at it with PI. And using PI, if you look at the ABLE 041, which represents when IMS Connect sent that message to IMS OTMA, till the time that the 01 log record was logged and the message accepted by IMS was 2.4 seconds. And that is exactly what we saw in our PA reports, and it confirmed that we were right, that the message somewhere was either in the XCF communications vehicle or in OTMA preprocessing. And using the RMF data to evaluate the performance of XCF, we came to the conclusion that there was nothing that we could use to substantiate that the performance was in XCF, and the system level 2, level 3 people for IMS begin to evaluate the OTMA traces to find out the source of the problem in OTMA preprocessing, and eventually identified the poor performance of the racket data sets as the caused the problem. So let's look at another scenario that includes DB2 and MQ problems. And again, we went through basically the same processes I took you through for this particular connect problem. And we ran PA to do an overall evaluation of the performance in our environment with respect to our service level agreements. And using forms-based reporting, we got an insight into what the problem might be. And then we used the IMS problem investigator to identify the cause of the problem. And for this example, we merged the IMS DB2 and SMF logs records together to further our diagnostic of the problem. So we'll look at FOIL 22, which shows us basically some of the daily performance reports produced by IMS Performance Analyzer. And we can see that the DSN-HCS transaction, that 28% of those transactions exceeded the 2-second service level agreement that we had in place. And so we clearly, based upon that, decided to evaluate in more detail the performance of that particular transaction code. So if we move on to FOIL 23, we see another IMSPA list report that shows the individual transactions that had significant problems, and not only this time we get CPU time and total processing time, and we identify that transaction from L-Term Fund TRM 69 as having very high CPU time and in addition a long process time. And this is the type of process that we had to use before we had the ability of the PA accounting index. We had to go through this manual process and get this IMS transaction start time shown in this particular report to be able to find the associated O1 record in the IMS logs. If we move on to FOIL 24, we see here a kind of a list of the data that we had together in order to do the analysis. Now, we didn't gather all this information up front, but we gathered it as we needed to use it. As we looked at the IMS log, we started off at a high level, the way you do most of your problem determination. And as we knew more and more about the problem, we might need more and more detailed information about the problem, including the DB2 logs and perhaps some SMF data or the WebSphere MQ logs. And so we used IMSPI as needed through the process to merge these log records together to show us a detailed event in the life cycle of the transaction. So we move on to 25. We can see the results of some of the problem determination that we used. What we see here in the very first IMS 01 record at the top of the page, we see that out in the line command, we see an E, and the E says that I would like to view the time relationships between these events in terms of elapsed time. And we can see that again, that we have requested elapsed time. Over in the top right, the time parameter shows the keyword elapsed. So that means that where we looked at relative time before, and we looked at the wall clock actual timestamp of the events, here we see an example of looking at these events in terms of their respective time between the events. And we can see here that we show, again, the DB2 components and the elapsed time that it took, and we see that from the time we did the thread create, the 5600, until actually we got the unit of recovery to start it, was 1.65 seconds. And that is a clue that the process of creating that thread and creating that DB2 unit of recovery can be an expensive one. There are some security things that sometimes happen. All depends on the uniqueness of your environment, but that's probably not an acceptable amount of sign-on time to get our DB2 unit of recovery started. So here again, now we've got some credible evidence to give to our DB2 compadres to have them pitch in and help us with this particular problem. We move on to 426. It says that the process of doing evaluations of WebSphere-MQ is very similar to the process for DB2 because both WebSphere-MQ and DB2 share the DB2 logger. And so the log records coming out of WebSphere-MQ are very similar to those in DB2 environment. Let's look at 427, and here we see an example of an IMS transaction that uses both MQ and DB2. And we can see here that the 5600 IMS log records represent the sign-on to the individual subsystems with their associated DB2 log records and MQ log records related. And we can also see that we are using, again, elapsed time. So based upon that, let's move on to 428 and just kind of wrap things up with a summary. I know this has been a very quick session, but I'm hoping that I have given you just a brief view of how the IMS Performance Analyzer and Problem Investigator, using the new techniques that we've implemented in 2008, the accounting index, the ability to merge in DB2 and WebSphere-MQ, and certain SMF records, really will enable you and the less experienced members of your staff to be able to zero in and be productive in terms of analysis and problem determination of the ever-increasingly complex IMS transactions that we have to deal with today. And again, I want to state that don't expect our support for DB2 and WebSphere to allow you to solve the problems in those spaces, but be able to get your DB2 or WebSphere-MQ colleagues involved earlier with the information that helps them do their analysis and use their tools to confirm that they are the source of the problem, and the end result is resolution of the problem at the fastest possible time. Move on to 429, and this finishes the presentation. This is contact information for me. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to do so. And so with this, I'd like to turn it over to the moderator to entertain questions.
Thank you, Jim. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with your presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. How was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. version of IMS are you currently on? If version 10, press star 1. If version 9, press star 2. If version 8, press star 3. If version 7 and below, press star 4. For those of you that currently are using IMS tools, who is the provider? If IBM, press star 1. If another vendor, press star 2. If in-house tools, press star 3. If no IMS tools, press star 4. Hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. That does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Also, if you're joining us by speakerphone today, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you have a question today. Our first question comes from Colleen Stubbs with USAA.
Okay, Jim, for the PI merge utility, can we merge IMS logs from different IMS systems?
Yes, the answer to that is yes, you can merge as many IMS systems as you need with potentially several DB2 systems if that's what you need to do.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder to everyone, that is star 1 if you have a question today. And we'll hear next from Mary Cottrell with IBM.
Hi, Jim. I have a customer that's considering buying IMS Connect extensions, but they don't seem to be agreeable to PI. And I don't think they're going to get the full benefit of the extensions product without it. Would you say that was true?
Well, that's always a value judgment, but the bottom line is that with PA and Connect extensions, there is a significant amount of information available because it allows you to produce an end-to-end picture of the performance of your transactions, and you can use the forms-based list function of PA to list the individual records, the individual transactions. Plus, there is a print utility with Connect extensions that will allow you to do some detailed analysis of the event records, much akin to the process that you would use with DFS ERA30 for the IMS log records. So I believe there would still be some value to having Connect extensions as long as they had IMS PA.
Yes, we have PA.
Yeah, but obviously there's a lot more productivity, and the information obtained from Connect extensions can be much more productive if you have PI as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As a final reminder to everyone, that is star 1 if you have a question at this time. have our next question from Varinder Betty with IBM.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Varinder Betty, IBM Global Services. Question regarding the merger of logs again. Do you have to close the log before you merge it? Example of DB2 copy has to take place before you can merge them?
The answer to that is that the version of the DB2 log or that PI uses is the one created by the extract utility, the DB2 extract utility. So the answer to that question, it depends upon the needs of that particular utility. I'm not exactly sure whether or not the log has to be closed and switched before that utility can execute it against it or not. But that information should be available in the utilities manual for that DB2 utility.
Okay, the second fold on this one is, I didn't see that you're using CSS journals. Is that can be included or cannot be?
This is foil 2 of the presentation you were referring to?
No, basically on your one of the file where you said you have monitor files, DB2 log, SMF, and so on, I didn't see CSS journals or CSS logs. Basically, if you are...
Did you say CICS journal?
Yeah, I did say CICS.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you know, the CICS journal, I'm assuming that you're referring to the journal that CICS uses to for backout for backouts and things of that nature.
Right. I mean, you in CICS you run aux trace to see the performance and all that good stuff. The question is, if I am looking into CICS, IMS, you know, DB control type of problem, should I be able to pull CSS journal and merge them into it and see if there is something I can find between CSS and DB control?
Oh, yeah. That's a very well-known requirement that we would hope to be able to address, and that's the ability to essentially merge the CICS performance information with the IMS logs to actually understand the performance of a Kix DB control type transaction.
Right, okay.
We have, I've given some presentations and we have some hands-on labs available that we've done in things like Share and the IOD, which show you how to use one of our complementary CICS tools, the CICS Performance Analyzer, in conjunction with the IMS PI to manually perform that evaluation. Now, we would hope that over the next period of time, we would be able to provide you some automation of that manual process that we've got available for you now.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. It's a good presentation, so thank you again.
Thank you.
And moving on, our last question comes from Makran Rabuti with FedEx.
Hi, Jim. This is Mac from FedEx.
Hi, Mac.
Hey. My question is there any new development regarding the batch feature in using PI, NPA?
There's not any currently. As you know, we're looking into just exactly what you need in that area.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have no further questions at this time. Mr. Martin, I'll turn things back over to you for any closing or additional comments.
Okay. Well, I thank you, all of you, for taking time out of your very busy schedules to listen to me today. And if there's any way that we can be of additional help, just you have my contact information, or your IBM representatives certainly know how to get in touch with me. So please don't hesitate to get in touch with me if you need additional assistance. Thank you.
And again, that does conclude today's conference. We appreciate everyone's participation and wish you all a great day.